gospel on which I stand for all eternity. It is my story, my Father's plan. The Son has rescued me. Oh, what a gospel, oh, what a peace. My highest joy and my deepest need. Now and forever he is my light. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is one gospel to which I cling. All else I count as loss. For there where justice and mercy meet, he saved me on the cross. No more I boast in what I can bring. No more I carry the weight of sin. For he has brought me from death to life. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is one gospel where hope is found. The empty tomb still speaks. For death could not keep my Savior down. He lives and I am free. Now on my Savior I fix my eyes. My life is his and his hope is mine. For he has promised I too will rise. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this gospel the church is one. We do not walk alone. We have his Spirit as we press on to lead us safely home. And when in glory still I will sing of this old story that rescued me. Praise to my Savior, the King of life. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise to my Savior, the King of life. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, in this day and age, we better have the Word of God, because there is none other. The Word of God will stand forever. It's been given us. It lived throughout the ages. It was when God was, because it never started, always was. It was there and will be there forever. And with Jesus and the Word of God are the same. So God gave me an interesting message today about the coming outpouring of God. But first he led me to where it started in the Old Testament, when God started out with his church in the Old Testament. A lot of people probably, there was no church. Oh yes, there was. And I'll prove it to you in the Word of God. The Old Testament is very, very interesting. They go hand in hand with the New. Whatever you see in the New, you can read it in the Old Testament. It's just a little bit different. You have to figure it out. Read it with the Holy Ghost. God will show you stuff. But you got to be interested. It's amazing what you get out of the Old Testament. And you know, when God took Abraham to Jacob to Israel, to Egypt, he had a plan. It's to show mankind what we are, where we come from. It's very interesting. And before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless it. So rise on your feet and we'll ask the Lord to touch us. Lord, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord Jesus, we honor you and we praise you, and I ask you, Lord, to bless this message. Touch my heart and my lips, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost will touch the people. And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. You may be seated. When God took the children of Israel, like Israel, to Egypt, he had a plan, and it's a very unique plan. The house of bondage. That's where we all come from. All remember, we were in Egypt before we came to know Jesus. I'll try to be as short as I can. It's pretty well a big story, but I love the story. And when all the patriarchs, when Joseph and Daisy, they expanded very, very much, and they became a great nation in Egypt, but they were still under bondage. They didn't know God, even though they were God's people, God's chosen, but God had to do something. And when we go into the Old Testament, you will realize that God had a plan, a voice in this world to proclaim him. That's the church in the Old Testament. He needed somebody he can work through. Just like in the New, he needs his body to work through us. And in the Old, it was the children of Israel. And when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt with Moses and Aaron, Moses led them out of bondage. Just like Jesus led us out of bondage in the New, when you become a Christian. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10, 2 and 4. And they were all baptized too. It says, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, when God took them through the Red Sea, first he saved them out of Egypt. The sacrifice was done. They came to know the Lord, and then he baptized them at the Red Sea. Now, when they come into the wilderness, I call it the wilderness experience that every Christian has to go through. And the Christian in a wilderness, we're coming to making a decision. We're coming to a situation where you have to make a decision. When you become born again, just like the children of Israel, God showed them all signs and wonders, and still their heart was not right before God for some odd reason or another, because they didn't take it to heart. Now, when we preach the gospel in the wilderness, when we hear as Christians and we preach that gospel, do people respond to it right away? Their eyes can be opened? Ah, that's too easy. That's not God. You make it too easy. You make it sound too easy. I can't believe that. They're going to do more. And you know, when God dealt with the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, he had a plan. In Deuteronomy 8:2, he says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Isn't that amazing? God takes you through wilderness experiences. And by the way, when people say, once we come into the promised land, with milk and honey, we're going to be in heaven. No. The land of Canaan was not heaven. I come to that. In the wilderness, we get to know and dig deep into the Word of God. Get to know Jesus. Get to know him really, really good. And there are some people in the Old Testament that gift a life to you, and we can read them. When God poured the Spirit upon 70 of them, they prophesied all over the camp that even Joshua, Moses' right-hand man, stop him. No. I wish to God all were like them. So we see when we come into the wilderness, Spirit, when you go through times and troubles in your life, when you are bombarded by demons, this is not for real. This can't be real. Jesus isn't real. Don't believe it. He's trying to doubt you that God has saved you out of Egypt. He's trying to doubt you that you have become born again. Don't believe it. That's why the Word of God stands forever. You were saved by the Word of God. to the blood of Jesus. And that's why we need to dig into this word when we go into that wilderness. And then the promise of the Father comes. That comes after you're born again. And we're going to experience that. I don't know when that will happen. It's going to come when God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. It's very, very close. It started down the States already. And we need to get ready. We need to get our priorities straight. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Know you this day and seek. Who do you want to serve? Do you want to go after the things of this world? Remember, when the Holy Spirit will come, when God will start pouring out, you better not be sarcastic. You better know. You better be in tune. Because God will seek you out, as he will me too. Because we need to get right with God. Because we're coming into a time and age where God will make a quick work and finish it. It is not going to be long. And everything's going to be over. How long? I have no idea. When it will happen, I don't know. But it's very, very, very close. So we have to remember the power of the Holy Ghost will be poured out. And that's reading my message when we had to in Joshua. Joshua 5, 13 and 14, put it up there. Once we come into the promised land, it is not heaven. The promised land is, now you're ready for spiritual warfare. Once you have submitted your heart and life to God, then God moves. But here's the thing with the Old Testament, when God started moving when they came in over the Jordan. He says, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but as captain of the Lord, I am come. In other words, I'm taking over. Now it's my turn. Hey, remember, we don't have the capacity or the power to fight against devils. Always remember, we are hopeless. That's why we need the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why we need let Jesus take over, working through you. You cannot identify an enemy if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Once the power of God hits you, you can go and sit to a devil and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. That's the power we have. That's what he's talking about. When you read through the Old Testament, what happened with the children of Israel, how God destroyed many, many, many nations that were so demon-influenced by the power of the Holy Ghost, it's unimaginable. He killed young, old, children, animals alike. They were so infested with demonic activity that there was no way God could let them. Why? Because he knew where they come from. Full of the devil. Demonic influenced that God had to take over. He took charge. Listen, I am going to first Jericho. It started out with Jericho. That was the most evil city in that totally sound. I have preachers tell that was the worst place of demonic activity. That's where it started. That where God said, here is the direction, but you have to listen to God. Go around that city once a day for 7 weeks, and on the seventh day, seven times. That's when God moves. That's why it's so important. When you do spiritual warfare, it's to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Get to know him. Really, because he is about to move again. And we read it when the spiritual warfare, Acts 1, 4, and 5, when God is going to do that. He says, but wait for the promise of the Father which said, he have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They had to wait. But God, you know how the early church started. They turned the world upside down to certain parts. But the time is coming where in Joel it says, the day will come. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall dream dreams. on before that notable and horrible day of the Lord will come. What is he talking about? Before the tribulations will come, God is going to do that because he doesn't want this world to go to hell. He doesn't want anybody to go through the tribulation. As horrifying as the tribulation is going to be, read it, just read Revelations, you'll find out how bad it will be. That's why God is about to pour out his spirit upon all flesh to get as many, the big harvest, to get as many into the kingdom of God as much as he can, as many as that will listen to his voice. That's God. God's attention, God's heart is not to destroy us. God's heart is he wants to save as many as he can. He wants them in heaven more than they want to go. That's the way God is. His heart is awesome. Get to know his heart. Get to know God. He loves you. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross for you and me. That's why he gave his life for me and you, to shed his blood on that cross and finished it and say, here, just like in the Garden of Eden, when the first Adam, when he sold us out to the devil, the communication that he had with God, every day, God, in the cool of the day, he would speak and talk with God face to face. Think. Then he sold us out to the devil. That's why Jesus went to the cross and bought back again what we lost in the Garden of Eden. Remember, he didn't leave anything out. He set you totally free. He gave you his spirit, made you one with him. There is no difference. He put his spirit within you into the holiest of all. That's where it's safe. That's what was safe. You were born again by his spirit. That spirit that we lost in Adam, that spirit Jesus gave back. And we accept this by faith, and God does the work. You do not do that work. That's God's work. How you want to serve the Lord, that's between you and him. That decision you have to make daily. Do I want to serve the Lord or don't I? The decision is up to you, and the consequences for making a bad decision, not following the Lord, can be very, very brutal. So today, I thank you for listening. That's the end of my message. So Pastor Dave will take over from here, and the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Amen.
I still stand. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Good for you guys. You got ears. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. These days, I've been watching the revivals that are sweeping across America. Been waiting for years for them. And a lot of opposition all over the world coming against them, saying it's of the devil. You know, when I studied that, I think, are there really people of God? Do they know what they're talking about? What is going on anyway? But when you look back at past revivals, I've studied them, and that's exactly what happened, exactly the same thing. Instead of checking what's going on with the Word of God, they check it from their own teachings. And remember, religion is the most devilish teaching there is. You can't go lower. Demons, you can kick out, but try deal with a religious person. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So what is the light of men? It's Jesus. He's the one that is our light. Without him, we cannot do anything. So I was listening to a few people giving their thoughts on the internet over these revivals. Then I heard a street preacher ask a person, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, yes, yes, I'm a Christian, but I believe in evolution." And he said, "How can you be a Christian if your grandfather was a fish?" "I don't care what it says, but my church teaches me I am a Christian." This is what's happening all over the place. People are being deceived. Instead of going into the Word of God, they listen to what is being preached. You come from a fish, but you are a Christian. No, you have to be a human being. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. The only way you can become a Christian if you're born a human being. Otherwise, forget it. You cannot make it. And Christ has become that light for us, that we may see him, turn to him, and accept him for what he did for us. Like Brother Steve was preaching, he is the one that settled it at the cross. And let me tell you, it's settled. There's no more argument. There's only one way into the kingdom. In the beginning was the Word, it says, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. Everything you see was made by him. No man comes to the Father except by me. You can believe in evolution as much as you like. You can have your own religious practices as much as you like. If Jesus is not part of you, then you have no life in you. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, and he came unto his own, but his own received him not. That's in John chapter 1, verse 10. We know that the Jewish people rejected him, and they rejected him. They were blinded so that we could come in. They did us a favor to that detriment, to their detrimental. They had to suffer a lot for rejecting Jesus. But throughout the last 2,000 years, many, many, the Gentiles came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, there were squabbles. There were divisions. But the main thing was, Jesus was the Son of God. And he brought light into this world. It says here, I want to talk a little about this. John chapter 1, verse 12. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen to that. To them that receive him, then you have the power. If you believe in Christ, if you have decided that Jesus is God, then God gives you the power to become the sons of God. So this is what we see today. Many, many people are going to be touched by God. He will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. It says, all flesh. Everyone will get a chance to experience God. They will know they were touched by God. But there's a warning. To them that receive Him, to them give He the power to become the sons of God. Not everyone will receive Him. You already see when you watch the revivals going on, the people on the outside or on the inside, they come away with some strange things. I heard one guy say, well, this guy could not have hurt God. He's homosexual. That's where homosexuals need to go, to church, to hear from God. And besides, he's following Joyce Myers. That's the reason this is not for real. How stupid and idiotic can a person get judging a person's Christianity by that? He came and he accepted Christ. Will he stay there? That's up to him. The Bible teaches nobody knows, because the wind blows where it wants and it goes to where it wants. So God has all those in mind. He's all got, He's got them all. Those who are ready to receive Him as Savior. And according to Scripture, millions, millions will turn to Him. And we're going to see it very soon. Many people who've been playing with God will find out He's for real. You got to get serious. But remember, He wants you to know about Him. All of you on the internet, all of you sitting here, once you know about this Jesus, you have the power to become the sons of God. This is what the Bible teaches. Have you turned to Jesus for salvation? When God showed me His power, when God showed me that He had the key to heaven, when God showed me I had to turn to Him, I didn't hesitate. I couldn't care what religion said. I couldn't care what my brothers and sisters in the flesh said. I went for Christ. You know why I went for Christ? In the eternities, there is joy, peace, and glory waiting for me. Hallelujah. And not only for me, for all those who turn to Him. This is not some fairy tale. This is for real. If you turn to Christ, if you accept Him as your Savior, if Christ has become your kingdom and you're in His kingdom, then for the rest of eternity, you'll have parties and joy and peace and joy and peace and no more aches and bones, no more sicknesses in your bones. You will be free from all that Satan has laid upon us. we will be set free by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the rest of eternity, we will be able to rejoice. Hallelujah. May the Lord richly bless you. Amen.
In days of peace and days of rest, in times of loss and loneliness, though rich or poor, your word is true, that all my ways are known to you. No trial has come beyond your hand, no step I walk beyond your plan. The path is dark outside my view, still all my ways are known to you. And oh, what peace that I have found wherever I may be, for all my ways are known to you. Hallelujah, they are known to you. I do not fear the final night, for death will be the door to life. You take my hand and lead me through, for all my ways are known to you. And oh, what peace that I have found wherever I may be, for all my ways are known to you. Hallelujah, they are known to you. Open up my eyes so I may see that you have made these ways for me. Open up my eyes so I may see that you, my God, will walk with me. Open up my eyes so I may see that you have made these ways for me. Open up my eyes so I may see that you, my God, will walk with me. And oh,